What I wanted to discuss this evening is a shiloh that actually came last night, and it's a fascinating one. It's relevant now, but really the truth is it could have been a question that should have been asked many, many times in the past or previous years. There's a reason why it only came up now, and I'll explain. As we know, next week is going to be the communal commemoration for Churban Beis Hamikdash, Churban Yerushalayim. We're going to have Asar B'Teves, which is one of the four major fast days that everybody considers to be a Tainus Tzibur, to be a public day of mourning, a public day of fasting. And the question that I was asked was, there is a nursing home where because of COVID, they are not allowing visitors to come in freely. And it's very unusual that they have a visitor who is there early in the morning. So they have a Shachris Minyan every day. But they said that none of the participants of this nursing home who come to the Minyan every day are going to be fasting. All of them are not well enough to be fasting. And the question that they asked was, this year Asar B'Teves falls out on Tuesday, and they want to know whether or not they are supposed to do Kriyas HaTorah on Tuesday morning on Asar B'Teves when they have actually nobody in the Minyan that will be fasting. I mentioned to them that part of this question also is, are they supposed to recite Aneinu when they have the Shemona Esrei, the Chazaras Hashatz? Should they say Aneinu in the Shemona Esrei? Or perhaps that is only something that is reserved for those who are fasting. What about an individual? Is there a difference between an individual and the tzibur? This is a very important question, and the truth is, it's not only relevant to a nursing home. Every so often, we come to a shul, and we have mincha on the tainus in the afternoon, and as we know, that when we have a tainus tzibur, we lain from the Sefer Torah, and we very unusually, very uncharacteristically, lain ahav Torah as well in the afternoon. So sometimes you'll have a situation where they look around the room and they say, is there a kohen here? Somebody will raise their hand. They call up a kohen. And then after they call him up, they say, oh, 1 second, I'm not fasting. Oh, am I allowed to get the aliyah? Am I not allowed to get the aliyah? Yeah, but then you'll say there are other people in the room who are fasting, so what does it matter if he's fasting or not? So all of that, I think, is a very important question. It's actually more relevant and more prevalent than one may have thought. So let us try to get into this discussion. Just by way of understanding the backdrop of what Asar B'Teves is all about. Asar B'Teves is really a communal day of commemoration for the Churban in Bayis Rishon. This has nothing to do with the Bayis Sheni. This is something that was instituted after the Bayis Rishon. And this is discussed in the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that after the Bayis Rishon was destroyed, and then subsequently after the Bayis Sheni was destroyed, there were 4 days of communal mourning that were instituted to remind us and to give us a perspective that we should always remember, even if we are in Galus, even if we're not in Eretz Yisrael, we have to remember that that's where our focus needs to be. And we have to have days that are fixed on the calendar that will bring us back to those memories of Yerushalayim, of Har HaBayis, of Beis HaMikdash, of HaMizbeach, of Karbanos. And the way to do that was by instituting a Tisha B'Av, a Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Asar B'Teves, and Tzom Gedalia. Those are the 4 days of public fasting. They are quoted not only in the Gemara, but also in the Rambam, and in the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch as well. And this is something that all of us are familiar with. So I'll read you the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Chayavim lehisanos b'Tisha B'Av. We have an obligation to fast on Tisha B'Av. Yud Zayin b'Tammuz, b'Gimel b'Tishrei, u'b'Yud b'Teves, mipnei dvarim haroim she'iru bahem. Because of the terrible things that happen on each one of these 4 days. Now all of us know what happened on Tisha B'Av. All of us know what happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Those are far more famous. But what happened on Asar B'Teves? Unless you actually pay attention to the slichos in the morning of Asar B'Teves, which is not so easy to pay attention to, there are slichos that are very unfamiliar to us. Most minyanim that we're going to participate in are going to daven very quickly. So we don't really have a chance to fully focus on what happened on Asar B'Teves. But the Mishnah Berurah tells us that the main reason, again, there are a number of reasons why Asar B'Teves became a communal day of mourning. One of them, and this is really the main one, is because on Asar B'Teves, the Melech Bavel, the king of the Babylonian army, he was an infamous human being by the name of Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha, came and laid siege around Yerushalayim, Vehevia b'matzar uva matzok, and as a result of that siege, the Jewish community inside of Yerushalayim was in a terrible predicament, u'mizeh nimshach hachurban, and as a result of that, everything snowballed, and that's really what led to the ultimate destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So it all began on Asar B'Teves, and that is why we commemorate this day as a day of communal mourning. Now, here's what's very interesting. Before the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there were still Nevi'im who were alive. So you had Yirmiyah HaNavi and Yechezkel HaNavi. And Yirmiyah prophesied before the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed that you're only going to be in exile in Galus Bavel for 70 years. And he said in advance, God is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. You're only going to be kicked out of the land for 70 years. After 70 years, you're going to have the allowance to return to Eretz Yisrael, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, build the Jewish community up once again. And that is in fact what happened. The problem was that after 70 years, you know, 70 years in the grand scheme of history is really a very small sliver of time. But 70 years is enough time to really have an entire generation forget about their Jewish identity and forget about their connection to something that was so dear to them. And as unconscionable as that is, you say to yourself, how can it be they forgot about Yerushalayim, they forgot about the experience of the Beis HaMikdash? That is really what happened. The Nevi'im at the time, after 70 years, tried to galvanize the community in Bavel, that it's time to go back. And it says in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, they had such a difficult time getting people to return. People really had no interest. So much so that when they were on the cusp of going back into Eretz Yisrael, it says that Ezra turned around and he was counting. Do we even have enough Kohanim? Were we in theory to build a Beis HaMikdash and successfully go back with rebuilding Yerushalayim? Would we even have enough Kohanim to go around? Do we have enough Levi'im to do the jobs in the Beis HaMikdash? And he realized that it was insufficient. He turned back around and said, we only have about 10,000 people. This is not enough to run a whole city, to run a functioning Beis HaMikdash. He goes back and tries to encourage more. So that is what happened. The problem was that all of these days of public mourning were instituted after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So imagine, now you come back after 70 years, and you have a beautiful rededication of the Beis HaMikdash, so much so that the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Basra that the second Beis HaMikdash was a more beautiful and more grandiose edifice than the first Beis HaMikdash even was. So you come back, and then that first year Tisha B'Av, and everyone's scratching their heads, hey, what do we do now? We're going to observe Tisha B'Av when we're here in the Beis HaMikdash? Yeah, the 70 years that we were out of Yerushalayim, of course we observed a communal day of mourning. But what do we do now? And it comes Aser B'Teves, and it comes Shiva Aser B'Tammuz, and what do you do? So the Gemara says that this was a question that was really bothering the greats of the generation. How is it that we're going to commemorate this terrible time of Churban when here we are back in a rebuilt Yerushalayim? And they presented the question to Zechariah HaNavi. And they asked him, does it make sense to continue to commemorate something which was destroyed, which now is rebuilt again? And the answer Zechariah HaNavi gave them was, Ko Amar Hashem, this is the instruction that I have received. This is the answer that I've gotten from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All four of these fast days, Yil, Beis Yehuda, L'Sason, L'Simcha, U'L'Ma'adim Tovim, these are all now turning into very festive and wonderful days, and no longer do we have any reason to be sad. That is what the Gemara tells us, and that means that throughout the entire duration of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was a few hundred years, throughout the entire period of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Tisha B'Av, there was no Shiva Aser B'Tammuz, there was no Aser B'Teves. Now, unfortunately, the second Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And the question now presents itself again, what do we do? Do we go back to the old days of commemoration, or do we say, we basically forgot about all of that, and it's no longer relevant at all. Maybe we should observe Tisha B'Av because both the first and the second Bate Migdash were destroyed on the same day, coincidentally. Or do you say that the old days of Churban re-energize themselves and come back into existence? So this was a major discussion, and the Gemara comes to the following conclusion. The Gemara says that there are basically three categories of time that one can be living in. We can either live in a time where there's terrible Churban, no Beis HaMikdash, and there's persecution against the Jewish community, and horrific anti-Semitism, and pogroms, and all of that terrible history that we're all familiar with. That's one period of time. If you're living, Rahman al-Itzlam, through that period of time, you absolutely must observe all of the public fast days, because you feel the sense of Churban, you feel the sense of destruction, of galus, and you understand that there's a tremendous yearning for a Geula. On the other side of the spectrum, on the other extreme, we have a period in time in history where you have very calm, and you have a Beis HaMikdash, and you have everybody back in Israel, back in Yerushalayim, and it's a wonderful time. Obviously, the Navi told us, if you live in a generation like that, Mehera Yibana Beis HaMikdash, we should be so lucky. There's no longer any reason to fast because everything's fine. Everything's running the way it should. What about the middle period? Which I would say is the time that we're living in now. We're not being persecuted. Of course there's anti-Semitism. And of course there are things going on. And life is never simple in Eretz Yisrael or anywhere else. But on the whole, Jews are living a very wonderful existence right now. We've never had it so good. And b'li ayin hara, we should be grateful that this is the set of circumstances that we are being blessed with. And the question that the Gemara asks is, what is the status of generations like ours, where we're not really in a state of total and complete churban? It's not a devastating reality. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but otherwise things are pretty okay. On the other hand, it's not total resurrection of Yerushalayim. We're not where we should be. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash yet. So the Gemara says, in generations like ours, Ratzu Mis'anim, Ratzu Ein Mis'anim, which sounds like it's optional. You want to observe Shavasa B'Tamuz, Asara B'Tavius? You may. You don't want to, you don't have to. So before anyone runs out of here, the Gemara then qualifies, and the assumption is that we have all accepted upon ourselves already, whether you like it or not, that we are in this generation of the middle period, and we have all accepted upon ourselves that we're going to make 4 days of communal commemoration, and that's what it is. It's no longer optional, but this is what we do. But because we live in that middle time, there are many, many kulas that exist in the experience of Asara B'Teves and Shiva Asara B'Tamas as we know it. Just give an example. The Chachamim never have a right to make an institution unless it's based off of something that you find in the Torah. That's a principle that the Gemara shares, called a tikkun rabbanan, ke'ein da'araisa tikkun. Any institution that comes in on a rabbinic level has to be something that is based, that is patterned off of something that we already have a precedent for. So when the Chachamim came up with this idea that we're going to make days of public fasting, of public mourning, they patterned it off of Yom Kippur. Now really, is Asar B'Tavis the same as Yom Kippur? So you should know that in the days of Churban Beis HaMikdash, when there was terrible oppression, they actually observed Asar B'Tavis the same way we observe Yom Kippur. So it started the night before, and you were not allowed to do any of the Chamish Inuyim. You couldn't take a shower, and you couldn't wear shoes, and all the same restrictions that we have in Yom Kippur applied to all of these days of public mourning. It happens to be today that we're no longer in that very difficult period of time, so we've bumped it down a notch, and we say we've accepted upon ourselves that we're going to fast on Asara B'Teves and on Shiva Asara B'Tamuz, but we're not accepting that we're going to start the night before, and we're not accepting that we're not going to wear leather shoes or we're not going to shower. That's not the way it is. It happens to be that there were many in the times of the Holocaust who raised the possibility, you know, maybe in the times of such a communal devastation, we should go back to the original din, which is that these days of public mourning should be observed like Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Because after all, this is a time that is described in the Gemara as no longer being optional. This is a time when you see the disintegration of the Jewish community and terrible, horrific pillage in the Jewish community as a whole. And that was something that was a very big discussion. A question that people ask, or maybe people should be asking, before a public fast day is, you know, people want to know what time does the fast begin. So now we're pretty lucky because the sun only rises much later than at different times in the year. Fasika now is like later than all the latest minyanim that we have in our shul. But we should still give them credit because they do wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning when it actually is difficult for all of us to do that. So the fast actually starts pretty late. So most people say, okay, I'll wake up early. Maybe if I wake up, I'll have a cup of coffee, I'll have some breakfast, I'll have different things. So it's interesting, the Gemara actually discusses that. The Gemara Maseches Tainis Daf Yud Beis writes that although it's true that in our generation today, the fast does not begin until the morning, the assumption that the Gemara makes is, once I go to sleep for the night, the assumption is that I am accepting the fast upon myself and I'm no longer allowed to eat. That's what the Gemara says. Unless I make a stipulation, unless I make a tanai. So before I go to bed, which is very easy for any of us to do, just say, my intention is to wake up in the morning. And if I do so, my intention is that I would like to eat something or drink something beforehand. And that is something that would be perfectly acceptable. But the Gemara says it has to be only with a stipulation. So if I happen to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning and I did not stipulate, I would not be allowed to eat breakfast because the fast has already set in. That's what the Gemara says. There is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. It's actually a Machlokes Mechaber and the Rama. I see we have some Svardim here, so it's important that we think about the Svardim as well. And there is a discussion. What happens if a person did not stipulate? Before I went to sleep, you know, I am a good sleeper. I go to sleep whenever I go to sleep, and I wake up early, you know, I wake up in the morning whenever I'm supposed to wake up, and I never get up in the middle of the night. And then it turns out that I do wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I want to have a coffee, but I did not stipulate before. So the Rama says, look, since it's normal for people when they wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to have a drink, that's not unusual. My throat is dry. I want to re-energize myself. So since that's the normal thing to do, so he says, it's almost like an implicit tonight. It's almost like a built-in stipulation that should I wake up in the morning, of course I'm allowed to drink, because that's what everybody does when they wake up in the morning. They take a drink. So therefore it would be okay even without making a specific tonight before. And the Shulchan Aruch disagrees. And he says, no, that even for drinking, that would be the same as eating, and one always needs to make a tonight beforehand. Often on over the course of a fast day as well, I've been called many times with a shaila. Somebody will say, you know, I walked into my kitchen and I saw all the different things that were around and I just happened to take a drink and I didn't realize. So what's the story? So many people mistakenly think that that means, okay, once I broke it, I'm finished. But the Shulchan Aruch says, no. If you broke it, you did wrong. And actually the terminology that's used in the Achronim is, someone who does one sin, you're now going to add more sin to that. So you drank or you ate in the middle of the fast day, which you should not have done. So stop there. You're not allowed to continue to eat or drink. Just because you broke it doesn't mean you have an allowance to eat the rest of the day. Now, it may make the rest of the fast easier for you because you've already re-energized yourself with the coffee that you drank, but that doesn't give you a license to then go ahead and continue to eat. So that is also a very important halacha, which leads to a famous discussion. I think I mentioned it in some other shir. I can't remember anymore where it was or when it was, but there is a discussion in one of Rabbi Avadia Yosef's tshuvas. It's discussed other places as well, but he so beautifully puts it together with other issues, and that is, what happens if somebody makes a bracha on a cup of coffee on a fast day, and then they realize after making the bracha, hey, it's a fast day, I'm not allowed to drink this. But on the other hand, if I don't take a sip, then it's a bracha levatela. So what am I supposed to do? And he ties it together. What happens if after eating meat, somebody forgets all about it, and their practice, their custom is to wait 6 hours or 3 hours, whatever it may be, different customs, different communities, and they make a bracha on a cup of coffee or a drink of milk, and then they realize, hey, I'm not allowed to drink this yet because, after all, I'm still fleishiks, and I'm not allowed to have milk. But at the same time, if I'm just going to leave it hanging right now and not take the drink, once I've already made the bracha, that will be a bracha levatela. So what am I supposed to do? What's the best option? He gives a third example that's discussed in the Stechemet and others. What is one to do? Were it during the 9 days, and during the 9 days, as we know, you're not supposed to eat meat. That's the minig of the Ashkenazim. And when you have a situation like that, a person mistakenly makes a bracha on some meat item, not realizing, not remembering that it's the 9 days. So what do they do? Very interesting shaila. He assumes that all of these are put together, but it's not necessarily the case. So now we come to the insertion of Anenu in the Shmona Esrei. And as we know, the Shulchan Aruch says that when you have a day of public mourning, of public fasting, we're supposed to add an additional paragraph into the Shmona Esrei, which is all about Yom Tzom Ta'aniseinu, which is all about the day of fasting, of mourning, that all of us are observing together. There is a discussion in the Rishonim, at which tefillah are we supposed to recite this? So does anybody know? When do we say it? We as individuals only say it by mincha. Why do we only say it by mincha? We already were fasting by shacharis. So there are some Rishonim who say, one second, we say in that paragraph, Anenu Hashem Anenu, God please answer our prayers, Biyom Tzom Ta'anisenu, on the day which is designated for fasting. So there are some Rishonim who say you should start already at Maariv the night before. This is a day on the calendar. You look in every Jewish calendar and you'll find that it's marked off Sar B'Teves, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. So already at night, it would make sense to begin with the fasting, with the Anenu recitation. Why not? It's Yom Tzom Ta'aniseinu. It's a day on the calendar and a Jewish day begins at night. Even though we're still going to be eating, but still, we should insert that already. Obviously, that is not the accepted opinion. But then the Rishonim say, why don't we say it at Shacharis? Everybody's fasting in the morning. And Rashi explains the reason why is because we don't want to sound Nira Alav Kesheker, You know, very often things come up during the day, and sometimes a person needs to break their fast for whatever reason. They're not feeling well. And as a result of that, they're not going to end up fasting the entire day. So it turns out, I ate at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had to break my fast, and then I stopped. But when I davened shacharis this morning, I said, God, please answer my prayer, because today is Yom Tzom Tani Sein. It's not true. You didn't follow through with the day. So therefore, Rashi says, to play it safe, let's only recite Anenu by Mincha. The assumption is, if you already made it to Mincha time, you're probably going to make it through the rest. And that's why we only recite Anenu by Mincha. However, if a person is not fasting, if for whatever reason I'm not fasting, either because a woman is pregnant or because a woman is nursing, they don't fast on these minor fast days, or somebody's simply not feeling well, so you won't fast. So in such a case, obviously that person will not recite Anenu because you are not fasting. What about the Shliach Tzibur? So as we know, the Shliach Tzibur doesn't only reserve this paragraph of Anenu for Mincha, they already say it at Shacharis. Why is that? Because the assumption is, when the Shliach Tzibur says the Chazaras HaShatz, they're saying it not as a private individual, they're saying it on behalf of the entire Tzibur. The assumption is that in a Tzibur, we are going to have at least 10 people who are going to actually make it through the day. So since that's the assumption, so therefore the Chazan already says it at Shacharis. For me as an individual to say it at Shacharis, we're not sure what's going to be with me. We don't know if I'm going to make it through the rest of the fast day, and therefore play it safe. Don't say Anena by Shacharis. For the Tzibur as a whole, when we're saying Chazaras HaShatz by Shacharis, the assumption is going to be that there will probably be at least 10 people in the Tzibur who are going to finish off the fast day, and therefore we have a right to already say Anenu by Shacharis as well, and we don't have to reserve it only for Mincha. But again, if I am not the person who is fasting, I probably should not be the one who is going to serve as the Shliach Tzibur. What about Kriyas HaTorah? So as we mentioned, there is an additional insertion into the davening on Atinus Tzibur. Not only do we say Anenu, but we also do a special Kriyas HaTorah, where we read from Parshas Vayechal. It's to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Yud Gimel Midos, of the fact that he should have Rachmanus, that he should have mercy on us, and that is why we say it on a public day of fasting. So there, the Shulchan Aruch discusses this as well, and the Shulchan Aruch says, if you, let's say by Mincha in the afternoon, the only reason why we're laning by Mincha in the afternoon is because it's a public day of mourning, it's a public day of fasting. On any other day, we don't lane by Mincha, except Shabbos. But we don't lane by Mincha any other day of the week. And therefore, since this is something that is designed only for a Tainus Tzibur, if you personally are not fasting, you should not accept the Aliyah. You should not accept the Aliyah. And even if you're the only Kohen in the room, it would be more proper, the Achronim say, for the Kohen to excuse himself and say, you know, for whatever reason, I don't want to take the Aliyah. You don't have to embarrass yourself and say that you're not fasting, although it's not embarrassing. For whatever reason, a person has to break their fast, so they break their fast, it's okay. So there, the halacha is really that a person who is not fasting is really not supposed to accept the aliyah. So in this nursing home case, if you have an entire minyan where nobody in that minyan is going to be fasting, Kriyas HaTorah would not happen. You would not lane, because there's no reason to lane. The only reason why we instituted laning is because the assumption is that people are going to be fasting. But if no one in the room, if no one in the minyan, if no one in the tzibur is fasting, then we would not. What's interesting here is that there is a differentiation that is made between a Monday or a Thursday and any other day of the week. So it just so happens that this year, Asarah B'Teves falls out on a Tuesday. And therefore, if we came to Shacharis in the morning and there was nobody fasting, like in this nursing home, so we would not do a Kriyas HaTorah on a Tuesday morning. What if it was a Monday? So that's an interesting discussion in the Mishneh Berurah. Mishneh Berurah there discusses in Hilchos Tainus, what is the halacha? It's a Monday morning. On a Monday morning, we would be doing Kriyas HaTorah regardless, whether it was Asarah B'Teves or just a regular Monday. It just so happens that Asarah B'Teves coincides with the Monday morning, and therefore we're going to co-opt the Monday morning Parsha, and we're going to insert Vayechal. But maybe that should be something that shouldn't be designated only for somebody who is fasting. After all, we have an obligation to lane regardless. And that's why the Mishneh Berurah says we're going to be a little bit more makel. If you have a Monday morning that happens to coincide with a public day of mourning, with a public day of fasting, In such a situation, the Mishnah Berurah writes that we are going to change the rule a little bit, and as long as you have six people in the minyan that are fasting, that would be sufficient. You don't need an entire minyan, but as long as you have six people, that would be sufficient. Why? Because after all, says the Mishnah Berurah, you have an obligation to lain regardless, because today is a Monday. And on a Monday, you have to do it either way. Anyway, that is the basic answer. I think it's important just to know the background and the history. But as we mentioned, because of the fact, given that Asar B'Teves and Tzom Gedalia and Sheva Asar B'Tamuz today are considered Ratzu Misanim, Ratzu E Misanim, because we live in this middle period of time. We're not living in a time of terrible devastation, terrible Khorban, where it would be an absolute obligation. We're not living, unfortunately, at a time where we have a Beis HaMikdash B'Binyana. We're living in this middle period. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but life is not terrible for the Jews around the world, or certainly here in America. So in a situation like that, we have this concept, this middle concept, where we are very makel. And as a result of that, that's why you find, if somebody's not feeling well on a fast day, we don't tell them to strain themselves. We don't tell them to go so far out of their way to try to continue on with the fast. If they don't feel well, they don't feel well. And we allow them to break the fast. It is not considered to be a problem at all. Harachaman, we hope that the tefillah of Zechariah HaNavi, that these 4 days of public mourning, Yiu L'Sason U'L'Simcha L'Ma'adim Tovim, we hope that very soon these will turn into days of public celebration, and we won't have to suffer with the Churban Beis HaMikdash any longer. We'll be able to celebrate the Beis HaMikdash B'Binyana Amir Tzashem. We're going to dive